Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your amazing grace. This morning, we want to celebrate your amazing grace. You are a good, good God. You are Lord of Lords. We honor you and we love you this morning. Lord, we want to listen to your word. We want to make room for your word to work in our life, to change our life, so we may glorify your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Good morning. God bless you. And this morning, I want to share from James. I give the title, Genuine Faith. If we talk about genuine faith, of course, there is a fake faith. And in our culture today, many people like fake things. We have a fake nose, fake eyes, and fake lips. And we have a fake watch, fake bag. Everything fake. And few years back in front of a Prada shop in Milan, I heard an Indonesian lady talk to her friend. Hey, I wait outside the shop because they kicked me off of the shop. And the friend said, why? I have a fake bag. And I laugh because I understand Indonesian. So today, in internet, many people use fake identity to communicate with other people. And around 2 years ago, I have an example when my brother-in-law has passed away in Klagenfurt in Austria. The next morning, a friend of us in Germany called me. Hey, he was shocked and he cried while he talked to me. And he asked, how can I help you? And I said, I need someone to communicate with the funeral director when we left Austria. He said, fine. And then after few days, few hours, I never heard from him again. In the next few hours, a friend, a daughter of our friend, also live in Germany, she is a doctor, and she called me, how can I help you? And I said the same again, I need someone to communicate after we left Germany, after we left Austria. And then few hours later, this lady, this young girl, called me. I will arrive at the airport at 11 p.m. Wow, I said. Okay. And in the next morning, we meet together with the funeral director, and then she helped us in the communication with the funeral director until we left Austria. This is the point James had made. Word without action is fake, is useless, is an empty word. So, for example, if on Mother's Day, your spouse and your children said, hi, Mom, happy Mother's Day. And then they never ask you, how are you, Mom? Never hug you and kiss you. Until the next Mother's Day, they said again, happy Mother's Day, Mom. I'm sure you would say, their love are fake. Their love are useless. Today, many marriages fail because of fake promises, because of fake love. This is the point James made this morning. James chapter 2, verse 20 to 24. I read in NIV version. Do you want to show your foolish person that faith apart from work is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by work when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his work, and faith was completed by his works. And the scriptures was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was credited, counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. In verse 20, when James said, "Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from work is useless?" James said, "Faith without action is useless, is dead." In verse 19, James said, "Even the demons, they believe God and they are afraid. They have intellectual, they have emotional. And we, if we say we believe God, we have intellectual. But if no, we don't have any action, our faith, it doesn't care how much you say, how much you feel, our faith is useless, is dead." And James said, if your faith brings no fruit or produce no obedience to God's call or God's word, your faith is dead. Your faith is useless. There is no faith, and fake faith produce no fruit. We can only access God's promises with genuine faith. And some scholars say it is possible that someone has fake faith because this person has not truly experienced the gift of salvation by grace through genuine faith. So the opposite of fake faith is a living faith, a genuine faith, a real faith. People like fake things because fake things is cheap and look beautiful. They want to look beautiful. So James this morning teach us that genuine faith is, living faith is a genuine faith. And James illustrated his doctrine in two well-known Bible person, Abraham and Rahab. This morning, we want to look at Abraham's life, and next week, my husband will look at Rahab's life. Abraham was a father of Hebrew. Abraham is our father. Abraham is a man of God. Abraham was wealthy. Abraham was very famous and very powerful. Abraham was called a friend of God. Now James took us back to some key points in Abraham's life and show us how they were connected. When we look at Genesis chapter 12, God had first called Abraham out of Ur, the Chaldees. God had given Abraham a set of promises, and one of them, Abraham would be a father of a great nation. But at that stage, Abraham was old, and his wife, Sarah, was barren. That would be a challenge for Abraham. Abraham, the Bible said, Abraham followed God without knowing where he was going. And then Genesis chapter 15, God restated the promise, his promise to Abraham. And God added that Abraham's descendants would be as much as numerous as the stars in the sky. And the Bible says God, Abraham believed God, and James remind us God credited Abraham as righteousness because he believed in God's promise and he followed God, and that is faith. And then Genesis chapter 22, when we read again, one day God told Abraham to sacrifice his son, Isaac. At that time, Isaac was only a little boy, and God asked him to sacrifice as a burnt offering. And Abraham follow God's instruction. He went to the mountain. Sorry. Abraham went to the mountain with Isaac, and he put Isaac on the altar. And then God told Abraham to stop. Do not kill his son. And he provide an animal as a substitute for the burnt offering. Abraham was willing to follow or to obey God. It was significant because it proved that Abraham was truly trust God. According to some scholars, Genesis chapter 22 was written after around 30 years. Genesis chapter 25, Genesis 15. I repeat again, Genesis chapter 22 was written around 30 years after Genesis chapter 15 was written. There is 30 years apart. And when Abraham's faith was credited as righteousness in Genesis 15, after 30 years, this faith produced the work of obedience when he was willing to sacrifice his son on the altar. The obedience of Abraham demonstrated his genuine faith. His faith and his action were working together, and his action made his faith complete. James used the word work to describe the action of obedience. See, we have to remember, obedience always involves our will and sacrifice. For example, there is a young rich ruler in the Bible. You can read in Matthew or in Mark or in Luke. This young rich ruler one day came to Jesus and asked Jesus, "Teacher, what can I do to inherit the eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Do you know the commandment? Do not commit adultery, do not worship other God, honor your father and mother." And this young man said, "I have kept this commandment since I was a boy." And then Jesus said to this young man, "One thing's left. You should sell all you have and give it to the poor." And this young man was sad, and he went away. Because the Bible says he got a great wealth, and he was attached to his wealth. And in my imagination, when we learn about Abraham this morning, when Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac, God prevented him. God tested Abraham's faith. With this young man, it was possible that Jesus tested his faith. And Jesus would cancel his request. Or if he sells all the things he had, Jesus, God, can replace with double wealth, just like God has done in Job's life. So, when we talk about obedience, please do not attach to the things in this world. We have to obey God to show that we are safe by the grace of God. So, we look at James chapter 2, verse 22. James chapter 2, verse 22. I want to look at the New King James Version and the AMP Version. In NIV, you see that faith was active along with his work, and faith was completed by his works. In New King James Version, do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works, faith was made perfect. In AMP Version, you see that his faith was working together with his works, and as a result of the work, his faith was completed, in the bracket, reaching its maturity when he expressed his faith through obedience. That means faith and works make us complete. Works made our faith perfect, and works made our faith reach the maturity. Obedience, our faith leads to obedience, and obedience make our faith growing and mature. So, in other words, when our faith produces work or the obedience works because we are obey God, real faith or genuine faith will change our life. We can see if our life has been changed. That means we have a real faith or genuine faith, because fake faith produces no fruit. Fake faith is barren. And faith is not passive. Faith is dynamic. Faith is our commitment. Faith is our choice. Faith is our daily decision to obey God's command. That is faith. But faith is not what you say or what you feel, but faith is what you do. And James said, if you have faith, show it, prove it through your action. In verse 23, James said, when Abraham was counted as righteous, and then his faith was completed by his work, he was called God's friend, a friend of God. We have a lot of friends. Not all of our friends are matter to us, but it is significant to be called a friend of God, because it matters in the eternity. So now we look at faith and deeds according to Paul and James. Many people, when read the Bible, they say this is a contradiction. Why should I read Bible? Bible contradict each other. So now I want to explain a little bit about faith and deed according to Paul and James. James said in chapter 2, verse 24, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verse 28, for we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart of the work of the law. If we just read superficially, it looks like they both contradicted each other. But now we want to look in detail, because the audience for James and the audience was for Paul was different audience. So that's why they reached different passage. The word to justified can be translated in Greek word in two meanings. The first one, to demonstrate as righteous. The other one, to declare. The other one is to demonstrate as righteous. The other one is declare righteous. To declare righteous. James would not be unfamiliar with Paul, because they both met together, and they both knew each other. So it was when James said that faith is justified by that a person is justified by faith alone, by works, not by faith alone, James was targeting Paul's follower who took Paul's faith alone teaching to the wrong direction. Some people interpreted that being justified by faith alone to mean they can come to Christ for forgiveness, then sin without punishment. And Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verse 8, and some people even slander us by claiming that we say the more we sin, the better it is. Those who say such thing, Paul said, deserve to be condemned. And when we look at James and Paul, they are unified in one point. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, Paul said, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision has any value. The only things that count is faith expressing itself through love. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, Paul said, what faith without love count for nothing. And James said, a person is justified by works, not by faith alone. They both unified in this point. And faith can express itself through the work of love. That is work. And James, when he said in chapter 2, verse 24, James said, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. When James said, you see, he meant you can show. People can tell. People can see that you are justified. That was James meant. When James said, justified by works and not by faith alone, he said, when he meant the work, is not the work of the law, but the work as an action of our obedience to God. Yes. That is the work. We do what God has called us to do. That is the action of obedience. James looked at faith from human perspective. If you have faith, you have to show that you have your action. And Paul looked at God's perspective. This is enough. You just confess and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you will be saved. No plus work or nothing. This is Paul's main point. And Paul want to avoid Paul want us to avoid thinking we need to work in order to be saved. And James want us to avoid thinking that works are not necessary as evidence of our salvation. So when Paul wrote in Rome chapter 3, verse 28, we are justified by faith alone without the works of the law. He answered the question, how can I know that I am saved? And when James wrote in James chapter 2, verse 24, a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. James was answered the question, how can I show that I have saved? How can people notice that I have saved? Paul showed us we are saved by faith alone. James showed us that saving faith never remains alone. It is seen in godly deeds, just as Abraham, the obedience of Abraham. So, my conclusion, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from ourselves, this is the gift of God, not by work, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we learn the order. We are saved by grace. Through our faith, we confess and we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is our Savior. And then we are created in Jesus Christ, and we prepare to do the work God has called us to do. And that is the order. So I have one testimony what happened in my life 30 years ago. 30 years ago, when I look at my mailbox, I got the result of my study. I was very, very proud. I was happy. And as you know, in Germany, when you fail your exam, you got registered mail. But if you pass your exam, you have to check your mailbox, and that is the result in the mailbox. And when I checked my mailbox, I was so happy. I jump, I shout, as if everything I have done had paid off that day. So in 1991, when we moved to Australia, my husband had decided that we are going to do full-time ministry. At that time, I just gave birth to Grace in early 1991. She was only a boy, a baby. She was only a newborn baby. And my eldest one, Ruth, was 4 years old. And I was angry at that time. I was determined to pass my exam to be registered in Australia. And I did the exam. I pay at that time 700 Australian dollars to do the exam, and I failed because I have a newborn baby. I was so angry, and I was determined to be registered in Australia. Then after a few months, my English teacher announced that Australian government prepare to sponsor 20 overseas doctor to do the exam and all the courses until they have a registration in Australia. When I heard this, I determined to sit the exam. I apply and I sit at the exam. And according to my English teacher, it was that there were around 400 to 500 overseas doctor who set the exam. And few weeks later, I got the letter that I have passed this scholarship exam. I was one of the 20 doctor who passed the exam. And when my husband heard this, he said, "Why won't you postpone this opportunity?" And I was angry at that time. And then later on I got another letter that we have to have a meeting with these 20 doctors and few doctors in the waiting list. And before that, my husband told me, I still remember we were in the high street, we were in the car, and he said to me, "I will be responsible in front of God if you do the right thing. You choose to support my ministry. And after a few days, I got the invitation letter to meet with other doctors. And when I came to the meeting, and when they called my name, I gave my place to the next doctor in waiting list. And my teacher looked at me. He was surprised. He was shocked. He was in unbelief. And he said, "Are you sure you want to do this?" I said, "Yes. If you have another opportunity, please let me know, even next year or in 2 years' time." And he said, "Fine." Why would I do this? Just few days before the meeting, I heard God says, Jesus said to Peter, he asked Peter after the resurrection, after Peter denied Jesus for 3 times, he asked Peter, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me, Peter?" And I said, as if God taught me, said to me personally, "Do you love me?" And this is the only way for me to giving away my place to other doctor and to follow, to obey God's call in my life. It took me years to let go of my dream, my disappointment, my hurt, my pain. And now, today, I can testify I have no regret at all for what I have done in my life, for the decision I have made in my life. In 2014, when Ruth, my eldest daughter, said to us, she would help her father in full-time ministry. She believed God has called her. And I said nothing. I just wondering in my mind, why should this happen? Since I had never prayed for God to use my children in full-time ministry. The only prayer I pray was for God, give my children a humble heart. They love God and they serve God. And this is my prayer today for them. And the only way, I think, I assured myself, this is the act of obedience. And this morning, I don't want to push myself because of my obedience, but I challenge you, if God called you, would you obey God's call to show that you have faith, you have genuine faith in Him? God bless you. Father, this morning, I pray that every one of us who have struggled in our heart, whether we are in the crossroad, whether we have to obey you or we obey our flesh, whether that in our relationship with boyfriend, with girlfriend, in our study, in our business, in our family relationship, Father, I pray that you give every one of us the heart to obey you. So the word mercy, that our faith show that we are your disciple because we obey your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you this morning. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you. Amen.